reading. I guess the first service had to wake up a little bit. I want you to do this as Pastor John was sharing. I want you to look at each other and tell each other, you look good this morning. You're awesome. Amen. Okay, I just want to update you on the cleansing stream that we are actually 2 weeks away about the cleansing stream. And if you haven't never experienced a cleansing stream retreat, I encourage you to still sign up. You still have time until the retreat date that you can sign up. But it's going to be a very special time if you sign up. As soon as you sign up, your name, we have people praying, bringing your names before God and asking God to come and meet with you at that day in a very special way. And I remember when I went to cleansing stream first, I was sitting in the midst of the retreat, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, I had this vision of my past, of when I was a little boy, and it was where I was riding a bicycle, and I was racing one of the kids on the street, and we collided together, and then we both fell. He fell, he hit his head, he was bleeding from his head. They called the ambulance, and there I was standing before him, and that all came back to me in the retreat. And all this guilt, I remember feeling so guilty at that point. And then all of a sudden, I felt like God telling me, okay, I'm going to take off this guilt from you now. And all of a sudden, it came right off. I felt this freedom come in my life. And I think when we go through cleansing stream, and there's things in our life that we don't know that's there, God's going to bring it up and bring healing into your life. And he's going to teach you about his love and how to go forward in dealing with things that come up in your life. So if you haven't signed up, I would really encourage you to do it. We are in our series called Rooted Series. How many love our series so far? It challenged me. Yeah, it really did. Today we're going to speak on the words, speaking words of life. How many of us felt good when we told each other, you look good today? How did it feel? You know, one thing about women, they really have a knack for that. Somebody comes into the church, oh, that's a nice dress. Oh, what did you do with your hair? They're so observant of each other. Not like guys, we're like, whatever, okay. My wife goes to the beauty to get her hair done. She comes back, I don't say anything. I have to learn to speak words of life to her. It's so funny because I'm taking tennis, playing tennis, and we're in doubles. We play doubles. And then every time I play, I come back, she asks me, how did you do today? And I said, I won every game, every match with doubles. Great, praise the Lord. And then I come back one day, and she asks me, how did you do today? I lost every match. She goes, maybe you should quit. But my wife is my number one supporter, encouragement in my life. I got to say that. And I'm hoping that, you know, as a couples, that's the case, that your other is a great supporter for your life in speaking life. So anyway, let's open up with a scripture, and then we're going to pray. Found in James chapter 3. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I just ask that your spirit would come as you are in the midst of this place, that you would come and take the word and deposit it into our life. And let there be a freedom in each heart today in a fresh new way. In Jesus' name, amen. Words are so important in life. If when you think about it, it can be positive and it can be negative. And a lot of times in life, we're on the other side of the negative. But God wants us to be on the positive side in the world that we live. And I'm going to talk about a couple things, what the Bible says about the words that we speak and God speak. For number one, words are like seeds. Just as seeds have the potential to grow into a mighty tree or delicate flowers, our words possess the power to shape our lives and the lives of those around us. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. God's word, and like our words too, is like a seed that can be planted into people's lives. And those seeds will develop into something, whether it's positive or whether it's negative. You are speaking into people's lives, and it will produce something. Number two, words are like a rudder. The Bible describes this way, that words can set a direction and a destiny. And it gives the scripture of James chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. It says, look at the ships. Think about this. Look at the ships. Also, though they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder, whatever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, the words we speak, yet it boasts great things. That little rudder on a huge ship can direct it right or left, where to go, where its destination. And that is what the Bible is saying, that is our words. We can speak direction and destiny into people's lives. How many of us follow football? Okay, not much. Okay. I'm in the wrong crowd. But look at this. If you follow football, which I do, this is Tua. He is the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. Yay. Okay. That's my team too. Okay. As he was growing up, his grandfather was a big influence upon his life, his direction and destiny. Though his grandfather never did see him play football when he was in junior and senior high school, he was such a big influence upon Tua's life. He used to quote, and I read articles about this, that he used to quote to Tua 1 Corinthians 2:9, which says, no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared. He told Tua those scriptures. He spoke those words into Tua. And he also, on top of that, he also told Tua this, that God had destined him to be extraordinary. As Tua was growing up, those words were spoken into his life that helped form his destiny up ahead. Tua, as you know, went on to Alabama, and he won a national championship there, and then he got drafted to be with the Miami Dolphins, and I'm hoping that they're going to win this year. But you have the power in you. God has given us the power to speak life into people, life into your children, life into where you work, life to people's lives that are hurting. You have the power in you, and you can do it because God has equipped you in his image. The other scripture is found in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And it says, and lo, a voice from heaven, which is Father's voice, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, this is the backdrop. He comes into water baptism. He comes out of the water. And his father speaks to him, saying, you're my beloved Son. I love you so much. And I'm so pleased with your life. When you think about it, those words launch Jesus in his calling and ministry, the words of his father. But think about this. The father spoke to him, love and son. But yet he didn't do anything. He didn't raise the dead. He didn't preach a sermon. But yet God told him, You're my son, and I love you. There's nothing that you can do because Jesus paid the price that God's pleasure is on you, because all because of Jesus. God is saying this morning, I'm pleased with you. Regardless of where you've been or what you did, even today, this morning what you did, that he's pleased with you. And I remember we had a prophetic time, and I was sitting there a little discouraged, and then the prophet comes and he prays over me. I'm feeling totally lousy, and he goes, there's a pleasure of God upon your life. And I'm like, okay, I don't feel it. But God is pleased with your life because of Jesus and when you stand. Right after that, he gets water baptized super high on a mountaintop. And next thing you know it, he ends up in the wilderness. Of all places, it's not a good place. And who confronts him? The devil confronts Jesus and challenges him. And there's two things that the devil attacked Jesus on, questioned Jesus on. One, he took the word beloved in addressing Jesus. Not like the Father says, you're my beloved. He totally took that out in addressing Jesus. And you know, whenever we face struggles and times that are hard and difficult, you know what comes to mind? To tell you the truth, before, I used to think, God, why am I going through this? Do you love me? Do you love me? Ever had that thought come to mind when things are hard? But you know, God's word says, even as Jesus said in the wilderness, it is written, and God says that nothing shall separate you from my love. That's what God says, because he has the plan and purpose beyond the wilderness for you. The second thing the devil questioned was, he said this, if you are the Son of God, are you sure you're a child of God, God's son? I mean, look at you, you're in the wilderness. Why would your father put you here? Are you sure you're a child of God? The devil wants to speak doubt into our life. He wants to speak doubt into us. But you know what? We go back to what Jesus said. It is written. God's word says to all who receive and believe in him has the right to become the children of God. Don't let the words of the enemy in times of difficulties and challenge steer your life, but instead believe in God's word to guide you, that you are loved and you are his child. Everybody said, amen. I needed that too. Okay. Number three is this. There is power in God's word. So if there is power in God's word, we need to learn to speak God's word over your life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this. For the word of God is living and powerful. The word of God is living and powerful. Think about that. The word of God, we need to speak it over our life. In one staff meeting, Pastor John brought out about Paige, Jocelyn's and Pastor John's daughter. She's here today, but she couldn't come up. I wanted her to come up. Where are you, Paige? Are you in somewhere? No, there she is in the back. So Pastor John told me the story about Paige. As you know, Paige is in Baldwin. She's a junior in high school, and she runs track and field. So anyway, one day she saw a video on Instagram about a person who used Philippians 4:19. Can we have that video? Yeah. And Philippians 4:13, sorry. And in the video, the girl, as a reminder, had wrote that scripture on her running shoes. And it was to just remind her that to rely on God. So anyway, Paige, upon watching the video, decided to take the scripture, write it on her shoes, and begin to recite it throughout the day before a meet. Anyway, I want to show her at one of the meets that we have. Can we show that video? She's on number 3. She's actually running as number 6, as you're calling. She's coming. She's running. Okay, she's by the goalpost now. You see the back. And she's running to the entrance. And then she's coming by the tent. And she's in number 6. She's coming around. Look at her go, Paige. Run, Paige. Run, Paige. There she is. She's making the turn, and she's at number...
Pole vault crossbar is set at 10 feet, 10 inches.
Go, Paige. There she's making the turn. Look at that. There she goes.
Okay.
Yay! Yeah. You know, she did, you know, she couldn't come here, but I wrote her questions. And so, as I said, she decided to write that scripture on her shoe and recite it throughout the day. And when she entered an event, not this event, but another event at a track meet, the results were she beat her previous time by 8 seconds. Yeah. And the second event she ran, she beat her best time by 4 seconds, which qualified her for the state championships. Yeah, let's give Paige and God a hand through all of this. The Word of God is powerful and living. And the challenge, you know, and I asked her, what did you learn through this? She said, I learned that when you put your trust in God's word to work in your life, God can really change it and provide the strength that you need. God's word is living and powerful. And how we need to learn to take the word of God and begin to quote it over our life and see what God does in our life with his word. The other thing I want to share is that God's word can change the spiritual atmosphere. God's word can bring light into a dark place. Genesis 1 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. In the midst of darkness, God speaks a word and light comes into being into that place. We need to learn to speak God's word into the world that we live. Tidine's, my wife's niece, she swims for Seabury. And one of her goals, she's a senior, and one of her goals was she would qualify for the finals in the state. And it was a butterfly event. And so how it goes is, first you got to qualify to go to the state meet. And then in the state meet, you have to place in the top 8 to move on to the finals, which automatically gets you a medal. You take the top 8 after qualification, and then you get a medal. So her niece, that day we prayed with her, and then she swam her first event, which was a freestyle, and wasn't her strong event, and she didn't do well. And I was like, oh no, she's slower than before, than her best before. And I was thinking about it, and I started praying, and then I had this sense, and I believe it was God, that their family was going through a real chaotic time. It wasn't within the family, but was something from outside the family was causing their lives to be a little chaotic. And so I started thinking about it, and all of a sudden I felt like God tell me, you need to start praying and speaking peace over her life. So I started praying for her. I started speaking peace. I said, shalom, Lord, shalom over her life, shalom. And so her event came for the butterfly event. So she was, so there were 26 kids that qualified to be there. And only 8 will move on to the finals and 8 will get medals. So she had to be in the top 8. So I prayed and then the event came, the butterfly. And so I started cheering and all. And she was slower than her best time again. And I was discouraged, but I was thinking, okay, God, if it's your will, whatever, it's in your hands. And then she was all discouraged. Because people that she beat before beat her. And so she was in the warm-up pool, warming down, and we didn't know the results. About 10, 15 minutes later, the father went to the table to find out what exactly happened before they posted the results. And lo and behold, she was in 8th place by 0.08, not even a second. It was like a finger tip touch of the wall, and she made it to the finals, and she was so happy. And I was thinking, God, you told me to pray, to speak into that place, and you know what? Something happened. She got into the finals. You and I have the ability, God has given us his word in us to speak in whatever situations you're facing. His word will come and give light into that place where there's darkness. Speak God's words into situations that you face. Number 4 is this. Learn to speak words of life to others, because words can heal and words can hurt. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who believe it will eat its fruits. Now, here's the question. Are my words like a hurricane or like a gentle, refreshing rain? Do my words tear down or build others up? Do my words condemn or give hope? When I was coaching judo at Hilo High School, there was one kid that came from wrestling. He came into the judo program, and he took 2nd in the state in wrestling. And as I got to know him, he came to know the Lord later, and a couple of the kids came to know the Lord through the judo. He told me this story. In the championship match, in the state championships, before his match, he was warming up. And he was warming up real hard. He was sweating real hard. And so he goes into the locker room before his final match. And then one of the workers looked at him. I mean, one of the wrestlers looked at him and said, oh, who won the match? He said, when the guy said that, all his energy drained out of him. And he went into the match and he lost. Words have power in what you share to people. And you know, if you don't find anything good, learn to dig deep to people's lives and speak life into them. And I shared this when I used to preach before, and I used to come down with the car on the way home and with my wife in the car. And if there was silence in the car, I knew I didn't do well. It's like, okay. But my wife learned that she need to find something, dig deep, and speak life to me. So now she does that. So hats off to her. But we need to learn to dig deep when things look down, or you need to find something to encourage people. Learn to dig deep and find something. And my working place, I used to have a meeting every week to review things. And I always try to say something positive, either about the crew as what we did or individual. And you know, sometimes I can tell you, it's not easy. It's hard. Sometimes I had to really think hard to come up with something that came to work, but I did it. It can be anything. Like, oh, you came to work today, you're on time, okay, that's good. Whatever, something positive deep in them. Because people are starving for words of affirmation, for words of life in them. And God is calling you to be that vessel to do that. You know, it's so funny, I'll leave you one story. The crew was giving me such a hard time as to interaction with each other. And so I never use the word of God in my meetings. I usually give examples, but this time I had to bust out the word of God. I had to tell them that, you know, everybody has faults because they were fighting among each other. Everybody has faults, and there's only one person who's perfect, and that's Jesus. And so they were all looking at me like, oh, okay. Then that week, I had to write up one of the guys in the department because he was doing something dumb, was not right to policy. He sits down before me. I look at him, and he tells me, oh, you know, you said there's nobody perfect, and only Jesus is perfect. I said, yes, but I still have to write you up. So we did. Oh, boy. How many of us know this person, Mandisa? Okay, she passed away in April. She had a number one song called Overcomer. I don't know if you heard of that. Well, 19 years ago, she had auditioned for American Idol. And in her audition, she passed the next round. But upon when she was exiting the place, Simon Cowell, the cold-hearted judge, made a comment to her that was really hurtful. And this was shown throughout all TV. I mean, millions of people. And this is what it's about. But later, Mandisa took it upon herself to speak to the judges, and this is what it's about.
Well, you didn't need a bigger stage, but you could have got a bigger chair. Simon, a lot of people want me to say a lot of things to you. But this is what I want to say to you. Is that, yes, you hurt me, and I cried. And it was painful. It really was. But I want you to know that I've forgiven you. And that you don't need someone to apologize in order to forgive somebody. And I figured that if Jesus could die so that all of my wrongs could be forgiven, I can certainly extend that same grace to you. So I just wanted you to know.
Amen.
Mandisa, I'm humbled. Amen. Come here, give me a kiss.
Yeah.
Come here.
Well put.
Give me a kiss. I'm just
Thank
so
you.
Appalling.
Wow. Words that we speak can hurt people's lives, and even words that we receive can hurt ourselves. And I think in life, what we go through, there are words that come against us that we carry in our life, and that's hurtful. But God wants you to be healed. He wants those words to come out of your life. He wants to take it out this morning. So this morning, we're going to say a prayer, a declaration that a lot of times we do in cleansing stream. Can we stand up? And then we're going to do a declaration. Can the worship team come up? I've got it on the screen, the PowerPoint, that what we're going to declare before God. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for calling me your child. And nothing can separate me from your love. Forgive me for the words I've spoken to hurt others. Forgive me for words I've spoken to myself in a negative way. Give me the grace to forgive those who hurt me by their words. Cleanse and heal my heart. Now, by the authority given to me by the Word of God, In the name of Jesus, I break every negative word spoken over my life. In the name of Jesus, I break guilt and condemnation over my life. And now, Father, fill me with your presence. I receive your forgiveness, love, and mercy. Help me to walk in freedom and be a mouthpiece of your love. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. You may be seated. We're going to take communion right now. You may be seated as we're going to partake, celebrate Jesus in communion. And as we take this moment, it's just to remember God's goodness, because Jesus gave his life for you and I. We don't have to earn his love in any way. He's given it to us. So it's time that we learn to receive at this moment his love. This moment is about God's love for you. This moment is about that you are a child of God in spite of who you are and what you did. And this moment is about that you are forgiven and that we need to forgive others. So, Father, as we're going to partake of the bread, we thank you that you gave your life broken, shredded. You died a horrific death so that we can have life in us and that we can produce life in our words, in our hearts. So we thank you that we partake of the bread. Amen. And Lord, as we drink of the cup, it's a reminder that your blood was shed. It was a sacrifice that you did for us so we can have forgiveness of sins. So as we drink of it, Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I close this moment, can we all close our eyes? And I believe that God, by his divine love, brought you here today. You're not here by accident. You're here because God brought you into this place. And if you never ask Jesus into your life by prayer, if you never ask Jesus into your life, can you just raise your hand? If you never ask Jesus into your life, it's the greatest decision that you're going to make in your life, because your sins are forgiven and heaven is your eternal destination. So I'm just going to pray, and if you want to open up your heart and follow me, then just say it to yourself. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for all my sins. I now repent and ask for forgiveness. I open up my heart and receive Jesus into my life as Lord and Savior. Help me to live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. For those who have received Christ in life, you can pick up a new believer's gift at the Connect table in the lobby. And for those who've never been water baptized, who received Christ in your life, never been water baptized, we have a class for you up in the pastor's office in the second floor. And we have the water baptism on every first Sunday of the month, or our Ohana Sunday. So if you haven't done that, just sign up and go up there. The Lord bless you. Amen.